Hey, buddy, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by Mr. Paul Thrott. How you doing, Paul? You can be honest this week.
I've been better.
You're getting over a cold. You're having some issues over there with your computer.
Pretty jet-lagged and sick.
Jet-lagged, sick.
I don't know. You know, when I was away, we did this last week, you may recall that the webcams disappeared on the Surface Book.
Yeah.
So I actually just got the exact same error, but I'm not using the webcams. I'm using this, you know, Logitech camera on top of my monitor.
Ah.
And so thinking about that, I thought, well, I did something I didn't do last week, which was try a different camera app. And sure enough, it comes up fine.
But only in Skype, it doesn't come up.
Yeah. So I tried unplugging the camera from the dock in the back there. I plugged it into the, you know, the different ports here. Never did anything, you know, Windows, it will sometimes pop up a little dialogue saying, or a little notification, but it never did that.
So it's definitely a hardware problem, or you think it's like a software?
I don't know what it is. It's a Surface Book problem. I on the plane ride home, I started writing my Surface Book review for the i7 version, and it got so depressing.
Oh my God.
That I stopped writing it.
Did it start out really positive, and as you were typing, you started noticing all these issues and more and more?
No, I waited weeks to write this because of all of the problems I've had with it. And what I wanted to do was have Microsoft fix the issues with firmware updates, because I really do feel like that will do it. And, you know, be able to say, look, I had these problems, but they fixed them, whatever, and you know, that would be nice. But, you know, it's been a month since I got this thing, and there's been three firmware updates, and they haven't fixed the problems at all. And this thing that just happened...
Are they aware of the specific problems that you're having? Like, do they know?
I don't know. I don't know. Looking at what I wrote...
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned the... I mentioned the power management issues that with Windows Hello and the heating up the bag and it's not going to sleep.
Yeah.
I wrote about how I can't trust this thing. It's like a laptop from the 1990s, so I always turn it off. Even when I turn it off sometimes, the battery has drained somewhat.
Are you kidding me?
It's almost like it's coming on or something in the bag. I mentioned that, I think we talked about this, the corners of the screen become a little unlatched. And you can see light in there. It's now happened on both sides of the screen. I don't know why it happens. I've never detached the screen on purpose. I have occasionally detached the screen to fix another problem because
Is this the production version?
Yeah.
Okay.
Surface detach button comes up red a bunch of times. I'll unplug the thing and replug it to fix it or reboot it. That refixes it. Keyboard and the touchpad stop working sometimes. You have to unclip the thing and put it back. And then I mentioned the web camera disappearing last time. And you know, the way I wrote it here is that, I'll just read it if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
At the end, it says, you know, well, none of these things are deal breakers for me per se. The cumulative effect is that I'm always waiting for the next thing to go wrong. I don't distrust it enough not to use it. Indeed, this was the only PC I brought to my recent week-long trip to Europe. But come on, this level of unreliability is unacceptable for a PC, but it's particularly troubling in such an expensive device. And so all I wrote was 615 words of complaints, you know, so far, because that's been my primary interaction with it. And then here we are this morning, and it blue screened on me.
Yeah.
Driver. Yeah, I wish I could remember. I tried to take a picture of it. So I don't know what to say.
It's interesting because it's hardware issues, obviously, and I'm curious if other people are experiencing this webcam issue, for example, on this hardware.
Right.
Because if they are, then okay, fine, that's great. They're going to be able to see, that's an easy fix, right? Because other people are having this problem. Microsoft says, oh, wait, there's a problem, and fixes it. But if it's Paul and Andrew and Joe having these problems, and that's about it,
right?
That's the worst type of problems I have. I have a very similar problem with Windows 10 also. On one of the machines, it just keeps blue screening because of a hardware issue. But I mean, that's a driver thing, you know. What can you do? Well, you got to wait till the company puts out decent drivers,
right?
But when Microsoft is making the stuff, this should not be happening, right?
No, it shouldn't. I mean, you know, I was nervous about this device because of the newness of the design, and you know that when things go wrong, it's going to be because, you know, it's the first one, and they'll try, but sometimes these things don't ever really get fixed. And I think the magnetic connector with the Surface Connect, they're now calling it, I think there were some dodgy issues with that, especially, I think, maybe across all of the Surface Bros, Surface devices. You know, you unclick it, you click it back in. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Obviously, they didn't get the magnetic power connector right, which has now since switched to a Surface Connect. I'm mixing arms. I'm sorry. The type keyboard connector, whatever that's called, has some issues as well. Anyway, you know, you see this design. It's a laptop that doesn't quite close all the way. You pop off the screen. You have to do it through software. There's no, insert a paperclip here to make it happen kind of thing. It makes me nervous. It made me nervous.
Yeah.
The thing is, day to day, it's mostly fine. I did just take it to Europe. It was the only computer I took. But you know, on this, I don't know. I can't explain this kind of thing. I took a picture of that screen. I sent that to you. You know, where you get the little thing in the middle,
spinning wheel.
It's almost like it's installing updates, but it doesn't say anything. It sat there for minutes, many minutes, long, long minutes. And, the first time it shut down and came back at blue screen, the second time it took forever. And that's when I started, contacted you on the phone. I didn't want you to think I walked away or whatever, but
yeah. So Enterprise T in our chat says something interesting. He goes, seems like some are having this experience while others don't. The inconsistency is almost worse than consistency one way or another.
Yeah, right.
Shouldn't have to roll the dice on a $2,000 device.
Yes, and that's my thing. I mean, I did write that this level of unreliability is unacceptable for any PC.
Yeah.
But when this computer is $2,500, roughly speaking, for this particular model,
you can't come up with an excuse. You know, you hear these,
no,
well, it's a $200 laptop. What do you want? You know?
Yeah. But, yep.
Oh, I'm sorry, Paul.
No, it's okay. I can weather this kind of thing. I don't want to do it right this minute, but I mean, if I had to, I could shut this whole thing down and go back to my desktop computer and life would go on. But, it's frustrating. That's all. I'm at my, I'm sick and tired and I just want to get stuff done. And I'm just not in the mood for this. You know, it's the worst possible timing for this kind of thing.
So Suncast in our chat brings up something interesting. And I've seen this spot from about three or four people, the November update. And what it did for these people, it did the update and it was almost like it was like a totally clean PC after it did the update.
Right.
It moved the files to like a separate folder, like another user folder.
Yeah.
Why does that happen?
Well, it moved them to a separate place, but didn't move them back.
Yeah, it didn't move them back. It just moved them to a separate place.
I think that was just the mistake that it probably didn't complete the process, because that's what it does do, part of what it does do, and then it didn't do the rest.
Yeah, so
I'm just guessing. I don't know.
No, I that's what I assumed happened because I looked at some of the complaints. A couple of people that I know, Suncast in our chat room, he's one of them, and two other people that contacted me said the same exact thing happened where they did the update. It happened overnight, and they came back, and it was like a totally new machine. Everything was gone. They freaked out, and they finally, after searching, they found that it was moved to another folder and never moved back.
Right.
So they just rolled back to prior, previously to whatever the backup was, whatever the recovery was that existed before this update, and then they did the update again and no problems at all. So it's
well, like you said about the Surface, it's the lack of consistency that is kind of troubling here.
Yeah.
It may explain some of the issues that are going on with that Windows 10 update.
Spin the wheel, make a deal. Paul, we have a lot to talk about. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it'll be a lot better than your problems that you're having.
Sure.
I saw on your website you had a Lumia 950 review.
Yep.
You've been using the 950?
Yeah, past week now. Well, a little more, I guess.
So what do you make of this device?
I mean, I really like it for myself, but of course when you review a product, you have to kind of put it out there for, other people. And does this meet needs and so forth? And any Windows phone in this day and age is going to have a little bit of a problem because Windows phone as a platform is fairly lackluster because of the app shortage, the lack of mobile payments. And you know, Microsoft, of course, has not been to market with a flagship device in about 18 months. And in the United States, a little bit longer, and on AT&T for about 2 years. So
that's a very long time.
Yeah. The other thing that's happened, of course, is that Microsoft did the complete reset back in July. They laid off a bunch of people. They took a massive write-off. They completely capitulated the smartphone market. They're not really trying to compete anymore. They're just keeping this thing on life support going forward. And so this generation of products is, by definition, kind of a lame duck. It's just the last of the big Lumias. Next year, we're gonna see one or more Surface phones, and we'll see what happens from there. You know, but you know, this is kind of the end of the line. I mean, I don't mean to say there won't be more Lumias. There probably will be, but they'll probably be, you know, low end or mid level.
Yeah. So, do you think it's the end for the Lumia brand as far as a flagship device goes?
I don't know for sure. I mean, I guess the closest I can say, you know, without sort of giving it all away, is that those teams have been consolidated, Surface and Phone, and that the Surface guys have seen great success and the Lumia guys have not. Yeah. So I think they're, you know, you see a little bit of this in the 950, where they look at, well, how did the Surface become successful? Because it wasn't in the beginning, right? The first generation of Surface devices did very poorly. And in fact, generated its own $950 million, you know, dollar, whatever that was, write down or write off. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
You know, what can they do in the phone market that would be similar? And so I think one of the many things they can do is to latch on to the design philosophy of Surface. And once you make something that looks like a Surface, that has kind of the DNA of a Surface, you know, they're going to call it a Surface. Yeah. There's no doubt.
I mean, I don't see Lumia anywhere on this device right now that I'm looking at.
The Lumia name.
The Lumia name.
Well, you know what? That's not inconsistent with Surface, because you don't see the Surface name on a Surface either. It's the Microsoft logo. You know, the brand they're pushing is Microsoft.
And they should be. I mean, that's what they should be doing, because that's a guaranteed brand that will not be going away.
Yes.
You know, Lumia could go away. Surface could go away. Microsoft is not going away. So, yeah, you want the name Microsoft out there. Also, for marketing reasons, I don't think anybody – I shouldn't say anybody. People yell at me all the time when I generalize like that. I don't think most people know what a Lumia is. You know, you tell someone it's a Lumia.
That's definitely the case. And obviously, that's going to go up or down depending on the market you're in. You know, people have been reminding me this week that Lumia has double-digit market share in some countries. I mean, that's true. So – in some places, it's, you know, reasonably successful.
If I were to do it, Paul, let's put on Andrew is leading the branding of this division, right? Yeah. What I would do is I would still keep the Lumia name and make it for emerging markets and lower end devices.
Yep.
Then I would take another brand to separate their their flagship device, and I would call it a Surface phone. I don't even know if that's the appropriate name. I would just call it something else. Just call it a Windows, you know, the Microsoft, whatever. Who knows what they can name it? They can name it anything at this point. Because there is, even amongst the diehards, when this device was shown off, the 950 and the 950 XL.
Oh, lots of grumbling.
A lot of people were calling this, you know, oh, this isn't a flagship phone. This isn't a higher-end phone. It's a mid-range phone. Look at it, it's plastic. And I honestly think the perception is with the Lumia brand. It's not necessarily the fact that it's not using, you know, metal, it's using plastic. I honestly, that's my
so,
idea.
So, all right. I feel like, I mean, in my review, I sort of touch on a bunch of this stuff. There's actually a piece of this I did not touch on my review that maybe needs to be stated, which is that, you know, when Microsoft kind of gives up on the smartphone market, which they did, and yet they keep making these phones, right? And people are like, well, if they gave up on the, you know, then why are they still making them? You said they gave up, you know. I've already explained all that stuff. I mean, these are not mutually exclusive ideas, but you know, they're getting out of the business of being the full meal deal, you know, that they're going to do everything. And so, you know, in the past, I mean, some of the quality around Lumia was around these single, like unibody polycarbonate bored out kind of bodies that people really love, because you could drop it from 20 feet and it would, you know, you dent the corner, but it wasn't painted on. The color was all the way through the material, and there was a certain level of quality there, and people really liked that stuff. Over the past year or two, Microsoft and before it, Nokia has shipped a lot of really crappy low-end phones that have like a pop-off back shell. Those shells have gotten thinner and thinner and thinner. And it allows you to do, you know, access the components inside and keep the SIM card and the micro SD card hidden away, which I actually think is a great idea. Battery is removable, also awesome. And it also kind of trims out the weight. You know, one of the big complaints against phones like the 920 in particular, or the 930, is that they're really thick and heavy. And they are. You know, I mean, they're just dense.
They're dense.
You
know, it's not that it's heavy in the sense that, oh my God, this is like a brick. It just feels dense.
It's dense.
Yeah. That's actually
and
the best way to describe it.
Not in a good way. Not like high quality. It's just heavy. Like, why does this thing feel like a slab of lead?
Yeah.
And so, you know, obviously when you do this kind of it's polycarbonate, let's just call it plastic or plastic like back. You know, people say, you know, this feels cheap. And I understand that, this was a complaint against the Samsung Galaxy S5, you may recall. You could pop off the cheap plastic back and all that kind of stuff. But what that lets you do is replace that back with other backs. And shells that have flip cases and all kinds of other things. I mean, there's all kinds of benefits to doing it this way.
Yeah.
The thing is, Microsoft's not going to be doing it. And so, excuse me, one of the things that I didn't really discuss in the review was that with previous Lumias, even the El Cheapo ones that had removable backs, they would ship this thing usually in multiple colors. You might see cyan. You might see, you know, black and white, obviously. You might
yellow.
See orange. You, yeah. might, you know, different colors.
Yeah.
And you could buy these things from Microsoft and or Nokia, so you could replace the cover as you wanted to, and you know, and sometimes there were flip cases and all that stuff. Microsoft has farmed that stuff out for the. They're not doing it this time. You're not going to be able to go buy a Microsoft shell.
Third party.
That's a cyan color or purple or whatever. You have to go to a third party, and that's by design.
Yeah, it was something interesting that was said about the last meetup that we had. I can't think of the guy's name and. Just ping me and say hello if you're listening to this, if you download it. But I overheard a discussion amongst two people at the Microsoft event, you know, the meetup that we had a couple months ago. And somebody was complaining that, oh, I don't want the plastic phone. I don't want a plastic phone. And the guy looked at him straight in the eye. He goes, oh, you got a, I forgot what it was, whatever phone it was. He goes, you got a case on that, right? He goes, yeah. He goes, so why does it matter? You're putting an ugly case on it anyway. You put a plastic case on your phone anyway. So what difference does it make if the back is glass or metal? You're never going to see it.
What percentage of people who own an iPhone 6 or newer have a case on that machine?
I got a case on my phone. It's not an iPhone, but
a very high percentage, I think.
Yeah, majority of people, because they don't. I think there is like a weird grace period where you don't want to put a case on it because it's so pretty.
I know, but then you drop it once.
And then you drop it once. You're like, oof, I should put a case on it.
Or think about something like the iPhone 5C, which was very much a Lumia ripoff. The big difference between that phone and a Lumia was that those color backs didn't come off. So if you bought a blue one or a yellow one or a pink one or whatever colors they had,
you're stuck with it.
You were stuck with that color. Yeah. And the cases they had for those have still, I guess, those with the weird ones with the holes in them.
Yeah.
They let you modify it somewhat, but you know, you're kind of stuck with that color.
Yeah.
There are advantages to doing this way. But I agree, in your hand, this thing feels like a 640, which is a low end phone. It feels like a 635, which is a low-end phone.
The 950. You know, the 950 feels that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing, but it's maybe not the thing that matters, you know?
Yeah, so...
I don't agree that this thing's not a flagship thing from a spec perspective either, by the way. I think we're getting a little silly here with... It has a Quad HD display. It's got a hexa-core processor. It's got 3 gigs of RAM. 32 gigs of storage and micro SD.
Yeah, that's by the way, this is exactly what that is. I mean, almost. Maybe no micro SD, you know?
I mean, I don't know what we're complaining about. That to me is a complete baloney issue.
Yeah.
The camera is fantastic. One of the arguments I've heard again and again is that, you know, with the 1020, which is, you know, 3 years old, Microsoft really raised the bar for cameras. And we haven't seen Microsoft really do that, or Nokia. Since, and that this thing should have done that again. But I sort of, you know, you look at the thinness of these devices and you think, well, what is it? How, what could a phone do? I mean, a camera phone do?
I mean, obviously, it's pretty thin.
It would have to have a bump out the back that was as big as the thing on the 1020, and that didn't sell well. And
I don't know if you can see this.
It was kind of an issue device. And actually, this camera takes better pictures
than the 1020. Do you have it on you right now?
The phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want, can I see the bump? I want to see how much of a bump it has.
Oh, it's non-existent almost. Yeah. I mean,
so it's flat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you the Samsung here.
It's okay? There. It, you know, it's barely there.
So I don't know if you could tell, but look at the bump.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a
That's
bump
worse.
There. Yeah. There's it's coming out of there.
I don't understand the complaint about bumps. I mean, the 1020 has a big bump. The thing sits up at a slight angle when you put it on a table. So what?
Well, you know what I do? I put the case on there, and guess what? Now it's flat. It's plush. So the bump, it's not, right. The bump is not touching it. It has like a little protector here, so it protects the phone. I think a lot of people, they complain about the bump because when you put it flat down, the bump is kind of, you know, it's touching the surface a little bit, and maybe you could scratch the glass. That's the only thing I could think of to complain about the bump. I mean, other than aesthetically.
But the bump is designed to protect the camera. I mean, you know, it's the lens doesn't touch the table.
On mine it does.
I don't know.
It does.
The iPhone 6, 6S, 6S Plus, and 6 Plus all have a bump.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is where we got to get past complaining about bumps.
So, you know, you brought up the camera. Let's talk about the camera. Yeah. How's the quality on the camera?
It's fantastic. Fantastic. Now, compared to, say, like a Lumia 930 with the latest updates, 1520, an Icon, is it, you know, the next generation? No, it's a very small, maybe imperceptible bump up from those things. I mean, part of the benefit you get on the newer devices, it benefits from the speed of the processor and the amount of RAM you have and the speed of the storage and that kind of stuff. But the camera itself, from what I can tell, is as good or better than any phone camera I've ever used.
So up there with the iPhone.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And better than the iPhone, much better than the iPhone in low light photos. One of the ones I'll show eventually. I didn't do a lot of side by side yet because, you know, I was away this week and I'm not, you know, walking around with two cameras, taking two pictures of everything like an idiot. My wife and I were out there visiting and, you know, we were just, you know, trying to enjoy ourselves. But I did a couple, and you know, one of the things we try to do for the kids, because we watch the show Sherlock together, was go over to Baker Street, and take a picture of the front of the, you know, where the home is, you know, that Sherlock Holmes lives in the TV show. Well, as many people might know, listening to the story, that is not where they filmed the TV show; they filmed it somewhere else, and we didn't figure that out till we got over to Baker Street. Like, we actually went there first, and then realized there is no 221B.
Yeah.
There never was, as it turns out. There's a Sherlock Holmes museum there at like 2:30-ish. And so then we looked it up. And as it turns out, they filmed the show, at least the exteriors for the home, over by Euston Station, which is right near the hotel we stayed at. So it was all the way back where we started from.
Yeah.
So we went out and we did our day. And the plan was when we get back, we'll just walk the block over and we'll go over by the front door, which we did. But by that time it was dark out. So I took a picture with the iPhone because I had bought data for that phone and international calling and texting. And I sent the picture to my kids. And then I took a picture with the Lumia. And then we went back to the hotel and I kind of forgot about it. The next day, I looked at the picture side by side and the Lumia picture looks like it's like a day shot. And the iPhone shot that I sent to the kids is like this murky.
Wow.
It looks like it's a swamp. Both, you know, both were just snapshots. Both have no flash. But that's the thing. I walked around the Christmas market up in Manchester, took a bunch of pictures with the Lumia. And it's great. You know, it's really, really good.
I'm looking at these. These are beautiful. I mean, the ones that you have on your website. If you go to Therat.com, here it is. It's the Microsoft Lumia 950 review. It's on the front page of Therat.com. These are beautiful shots. Obviously, they're in daylight. You know, you're getting
perfect lighting. Any modern smartphone can take daylight shots. I mean, sure.
But it looks great. What don't you like? What is your biggest pet peeve with this phone?
Biggest?
Is it blue screening on you?
No. It's been reliable. The battery life is good. You know, like I said, the camera's great. Obviously, the apps are kind of an issue. Windows, the two things that Microsoft is kind of pointing to as the big differentiators, they're kind of lumping the camera into that group too, but obviously the Samsungs, the iPhones, the high-end ones, the new ones, like your phone, have great cameras. So I don't really think that that's a differentiator per se. But the two big ones they point to are Windows Hello sign-ins and Continuum. And so on the Windows Hello side, I wish it was a fingerprint press. I think you must have one on that phone. My wife does on hers. The Nexus 6X, 5X rather, and 6P both have this. Yeah. iPhone, obviously.
I mean, mine doesn't work because it's Samsung and they just copied Apple's method and it just doesn't work as well.
But my wife uses it on a note and she likes it a lot. Yeah. But I like that kind of thing a lot. I think there's something to be said for explicit sign-ins, you know, where you intend to do it. The one on Windows Phone is iris scanning, and you don't hold it up to your face or whatever, but
does it shoot like a little laser? That's what I would love, like a little scanner from like the 1980s future.
No, but you do see it it's actually kind of annoying. A little red LED light. It's actually not that little. It's kind of a big LED light appears because it, like Windows Hello on PCs, it uses IR. Did I say LED? I meant IR. I'm sorry. Infrared. It's slow, you know, and I think what happens is, you know, it's one of those things. You kind of want to do it at different angles, but if you hold a phone at the normal angle, I think most people would hold it at in front of you and down, it will say, looking for you, please move the phone closer.
Yeah.
And then you do this thing where you're kind of trying to get it in front of you, and then, you know, in that amount of time, you could have just entered your PIN, you know? So I used that for about a week, and I turned it off. Continuum, I haven't had as much time to test. I really only used it last Monday.
You had the dock, right?
I actually got two Continuum devices. I got the Microsoft dock, and I got a third-party device, which is wireless, and it's sort of like a Miracast dongle. In fact, it is a Miracast dongle, but it also has a USB port on it. It's really just a wireless way. It's a wireless way to display the phone display to a display of any kind, you know, HDMI-based display. So like a Miracast device.
Yeah.
I get it. I think this is a peek at the future. I think when we talk about Surface Phone, I think this is going to be a big component of that.
Oh, it's their future plan of, I guess, Windows everywhere, right? You just have one device like this, technically. Eventually, when things get a little bit better and it becomes a little bit more fluid, this is all you need. You just take it, you dock it, and you go everywhere with it. If you have a Windows phone, you know, let's say 3 years from now, Paul, you have a Windows phone with Continuum.
You think I'm going to have a Windows phone in 3 years?
No, we're all going to be Apple. We're going to have like big Apple stickers on our foreheads, and we're going to be scanned in 3 years.
Yeah.
The future of this device is, you know, you don't need a heavy-duty machine. You just get this thing.
From Microsoft observed, you know, a couple years ago or within the past year, you know, 1-point-whatever-gigahertz processor, 3 gigs of RAM, you know, 64 gigs of storage or whatever, 32 gigs of storage. You're talking about a PC.
Yeah.
It's already kind of there.
Yeah.
You know.
What is it, a hex core?
It's a hexa-core, which I guess is a 6-core.
So I'm curious, that hexa-core, right, in that phone, if you were to compare it to the Stream 11, as fast as a Stream 11? Is it faster than a Stream 11? I mean, I'd love to know what the comparison between a low entry level PC is compared to just running around with your Windows phone and connecting it to things.
That's a good question. I'm going to play with Continuum more this week, and maybe I'll be able to answer that, because obviously a Stream 11 could run desktop apps. It's an Intel chip, so it's out there. Run Word Mobile and Excel Mobile and bring up the same documents and see how long it takes. See, you know, if you type, is it instantaneous and all that kind of stuff. I haven't spent as much time with Continuum. I can't speak intelligently about it. It works. I can say that. I mean, you know, and it is kind of goofy. The first time it comes up, you're like, well, okay, you know, yeah, look at that. Yeah. It's not exactly Windows 10. You know, the start menu looks like the start screen on your phone.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, exact thing, but
it's not exactly, but it's going to be there. It's going to, I mean, when they go to Intel, I mean, there's no reason why they couldn't make it, you know, full-fledged desktop. Actually, you know, Intel's going to get their act together.
Yeah, and that's what I think, you know, and again, on the Intel part, I'm speculating, but I do think that part of, you know, like I said, they want to have a Surface style differentiation on the phone, something that will justify the Surface name. And there's a number of things that go into that. I think the industrial design and the materials used in the design is part of it. But if I move past what I sort of really do know is happening and think about, you know, what they should do, you think Intel,
yeah,
not ARM, and then you think the ability to run desktop apps, not on the device when it's a phone, but when you attach to the dock. In other words, you wouldn't see those things on the start screen of your phone, but when it's plugged into the dock, they show up. iTunes, yeah. Chrome, Photoshop, even, you know, that that's pretty cool.
So, I mean, Mike, here's a thing for Google. Why can't you do that with your phone with Google right now? Right.
Well, what would you run? Right. They don't have
connected to any monitor, and it goes into
what though? I mean, like, what would you be running? Like, they don't really have that PC OS on the other side.
Whatever. They're Chrome OS.
I don't know. Right. You know.
I mean, they did it with that, what was it, the Motorola thing that they had where you would dock it. But, I mean, it didn't really work the way that...
Atrix or something?
Yeah, the Atrix.
Well, I don't remember what that was exactly, but I assume it was Android, and you were probably running... It was probably very similar to what we see today with Continuum and Windows Phone, right?
You know, Microsoft has something interesting here because they really could be a leader, not necessarily by market share, but they could really be a leader if they adapt Intel chipsets in their next generation phones, because then the possibilities are endless, because you could run, I mean, technically you could dock this thing and run your, you know, standard Windows applications on here. There's going to be no, the handover is going to be easy. There's going to be no porting of anything.
I would put it even slightly differently, that a lot of people today are saying, I mean, why bother with phone? Like, these guys, they're failing in phone. They've given up in phone.
Yeah.
It may be that this is what happens, you know, that what you're describing is not a phone. It's a Windows PC that can also connect to cellular networks and make phone calls. The phone part of it, in some ways, is an afterthought. It's a small part of it. What you really, like, for example, let me see. Where's this thing? I still haven't reviewed this. We talked about this probably a month ago, I think, before I went to Vegas, the little kangaroo PC,
yeah,
right? And it's got this little dock thing, and you could sort of think of this as sort of a Continuum dock. And this thing, which is, you know, it's not as small as
a phone.
Wait
a minute, what is that?
It's a PC.
Oh, we didn't talk about that.
The kangaroo.
You never showed it.
Okay, so.
That thing is awesome.
So I'm still behind on this. So what this is a little Atom-based PC.
I
want to say it has probably 2 gigs of RAM, I don't remember. 32 gigs of eMMC storage. It has sort of a little proprietary connector on the end, but it comes with this little dock.
Okay.
And the dock has a USB 3 port, a USB 2 port, an HDMI out port, and probably a combination, you know, headset microphone jack.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this sort of, you know, these two things together are an Intel-based Windows phone, if you will, a Windows device, really, with a Continuum dock here for
connectivity. The other side? What's on the other side?
There's nothing really to look at, right? It's the whole thing is just, you know, there's nothing on it per se.
I mean, you got vents, powers. you got the heat.
You get vents.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, you know, it's an Intel chip.
Yeah.
I think there's a micro SD card on it.
Okay. So, I mean, you're getting the same specs as the HP Stream 11, technically.
Yeah. And this thing, you know, it's about three times as thick as you want in a phone, but there it is. I mean, that's the beginning of it, you know. Now, the problem is that is a low-end PC, and this is a fairly high-end phone, and so you got to kind of bridge that gap too. You know, we'll see what happens, but I do think that's where, and we call it Windows 10, Windows Phone, but it's really like Windows 10. You know, let's call it Windows 10. You know, where these phone class devices kind of get sucked into the whole vortex of Windows 10, and it makes sense that we're really just describing a very small tablet, if you will, that can make phone calls.
Yeah,
you know,
something we've been talking about.
I'm just a lot. Listen, 50% of what I just described, I just want to be clear, is speculation. But
so don't quote them, Verge.
Well, no, I mean, I just want people to set their expectations accordingly. But when people often ask, this has come up a lot today, you know, you keep saying Windows Phone is dead, but they're making Windows phones. I mean, if Windows Phone were dead, why did they make Windows phones? I think it's because they're heading toward this, you know?
Yeah, that's the evolution of the product.
This thing, if this doesn't take off, per se. It doesn't really matter because it's just part of the wider PC ecosystem. You know, if you were to look at Surface 3 sales compared to the entire PC industry, or HP Stream 11 sales compared to the whole, you know, all of these things are really just a tiny percentage anyway. I don't think anyone would look at the Surface 3 and say, wow, that thing's a frickin' disaster. But if Microsoft sold that many phones, that thing would be a frickin' disaster. So I think if they can recast this as something that is not, it's not a phone, and it doesn't, it is a phone. I mean, it can make phone
Paul,
calls.
iPod. It's a phone. It's an yes, internet
yes.
communicator.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I get it. It's...
Well, I know you get it.
I get it. Listen, I want Windows Phone to succeed as much as possible. I'm not one of these people that says, it's over for them. I'm really, the more competition and more innovation that is happening in the market, the better it is for everybody. If you're an iPhone user, if you're an Android user, if Windows Phone is doing well at something that your phone isn't doing, guess what? In a matter of time, they're going to be using it.
Sure.
That's really what it comes down to. I have a lot of questions for you, Paul. I have something else I want to talk to you about. But before we do that, guys, I want to take a moment. I want to thank everybody that's been watching us throughout the last couple of years. Paul, me and you, we've been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
We're best buds.
Time goes by.
We go tanning together. We go to the beach together. He puts the lotion on my back. It's a whole thing. We have a very good relationship, Paul and I. We're building a treehouse this summer.
Yikes.
Yeah, we are. No girls allowed is going to say the sign in front of it. But guys, thank you for watching. I mean, you guys have been watching us throughout the year. Our audience is growing each and every year that we do this. A lot of you guys are supporting us, our advertisers. You guys are buying the products. You guys are contacting them, letting them know that you're absolutely loving the show. And, because of us, you're buying whatever we're talking about, which I want to thank you guys for that. If you want to support
whatever
it is. I mean, it's unbelievable. I was sitting at a bar. By the way, I don't have an ad today, so I'll just talk about this. I was sitting at a bar, and this guy, Lewis, that works at press, and he's a huge fan of yours, Paul. Huge fan. He loves you. He loves you. And we were talking. He's like, is Paul really, like, you and Paul are good friends? I'm like, yeah, I think we are. I mean, we hang out whenever he's in New York, and we got drunk together. It's perfect. I mean, how could you not be friends with someone like that? And he goes, I started listening to the show because you would come in here all the time, and I found the show and I absolutely loved it. And now, like, the first thing I do every day is go to Therat.com. Second, we advertised Braintree on the show, and he ended up building his entire platform, his the way that he accepts mobile payments, he built it on Braintree. So I'm like, you know what? Email them and tell them that. And he did. He emailed them and he told them, because of Paul, Therat, and Andrew, I'm using Braintree. Guys, if you want to help us out, we have a Patreon page. We do a show called What the Talk. Following this, you could fund us. Patreon.com/WhatTheTech. Fund us anything. $1, $2, a nickel, 5 cents, 10 cents. It doesn't matter. A quarter. Every bit counts. Every penny counts. It really helps us along doing this. We're able to, upgrade the studio. I just posted a studio shot on Twitter. That's what it looks like. And all this equipment has been bought on Amazon, has been bought through Patreon. Talking about Amazon, if you're doing your holiday shopping this season, use our Amazon link, gfq.co/Amazon, gfq.co/Amazon. You could bookmark it, and whenever you purchase something, we get a tiny little credit. Actually, talking about Amazon, you have a promotion on your website, actually, for Amazon. I think it is. Yeah.
Do we?
Yeah, you do. You do.
Neat.
You could actually go there and check that out also. Yeah, gfq.co/Amazon, bookmark it. Whenever you buy something, we get a tiny little credit. I see a lot of people are doing their shopping now, and this is a good time, that really helps us out. And see, that's how we pay the bills here. Paul, let's talk about what happened with 15.11, Windows 10 update.
Yeah, I wish I could have all the answers on this one.
But. So I read a couple articles, and I'm just going to go through it, and you tell me if I understood it wrong.
Okay.
You go, and you want to do a full install of Windows. You go, and you get that media creation tool, and it was 15.11, and it's not anymore.
Yep.
Why?
So Microsoft hasn't said why, but there are at least three separate incidents that I'm aware of related to 15.11 that I think have something to do with this. The big one is that they discovered that when enterprises or other businesses roll out this update through System Center or Windows Intune, that there are deployment issues. And I actually think that's the main cause. There are a couple of other issues people are having. BitLocker doesn't work after you do the upgrade, meaning that you can't encrypt a drive. And then there was another one, which is now escaping my memory, but there are at least a few. And so I don't believe that this condition is permanent. I think what they're going to do is fix it.
And then put it out again.
And then put it back the way it was. Because, you know, one of the big benefits of Windows 10 is that this thing is constantly updated, right? And, you know, granted, it's not a complete disaster if you have to, you know, go back to the RTM build and then you basically install this one update and maybe a couple of other minor things. And that's your, you know, that's the update process. The problem is that now that I'm home, because this stuff happened, I don't know, it was like Friday, Saturday, something like that. Since I've been home, it has come to light that people are just not getting this update from Windows Update either. They might have stopped shipping it out.
Wow.
I haven't been able to confirm that, but clearly something's going on with this build. So
maybe the fact that it's moving your files and now moving it back. That may be something.
Yes. That could be one of the things.
But
so.
this is not their they're not just gonna put out, you know, the bare bones whatever Windows was at release and then keep it that way. They are going to update this.
No, nothing has changed like that. I think, you know, you kind of surge forward and you move forward and you move forward and oh wait, we have a problem. And yeah. Their lack of communication is astonishing.
I'm shocked that that's still an issue. Even after, you know, the shifts that happened a couple of years ago with that company.
So terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll find, I've been waiting to find out. I don't know.
Okay. So it's not a permanent thing. I got a lot of emails about this. A lot of people were concerned saying, whoa, wait a minute. What's happening?
Yep. Yeah, me too.
Okay, perfect. Have you been able to confirm, this is another question. Mm-hmm. Have you been able to confirm that the Windows 7 key is working for people? With a clean install?
Yeah.
Okay. Because yep. I'm still getting some emails from people saying, hey, it didn't work for me. And I don't know if those are either A, people are just putting in, you know, OEM keys that are maybe not working or enterprise keys that are not working. I'm not too sure.
You know, so you need to remember that there are a number of circumstances in which this thing should never work, right? If it was an upgrade key and you used it already in a particular computer,
yeah,
it's probably not going to work.
An upgrade key
You can go
work.
Back to your original key.
On a clean install, I do not think an upgrade key will work.
If you did if you have a retail key, it should always work.
Even on a plain clean.
Yeah, because it's a retail key; it's designed to be installed anywhere.
Okay.
If it's the OEM key, you know, the one that came with the computer, obviously you have to use it on that computer.
Yeah.
If it's a retail key and you already used it on a computer, obviously you have to use it on that computer. I'm trying to think of some, you know, enterprise is not going to work. You can't use enterprise.
Well,
keys.
I mean, I know for a fact that my Balmer edition does not work of Ultimate.
Yeah.
They're thinking it's like the Estonian version of Windows.
Yeah.
It's just the system does not know what to do with it. So I don't know.
There's no way to know with what you're experiencing if they ever fix it.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's like a switch up in the back end that would probably cause that to work. And you could almost picture them saying, you know, this was a gift for a launch event from 6 years ago. It wasn't intended to be a perpetual license to Windows for the rest of your life. You know, you got 6 years out of it. You know, who knows? I don't know what they're thinking. Because again, they don't really talk. Like they don't come out and spell it out. You know, they're really not very good about this kind of thing. And of course, one of the other problems is now people aren't getting 1511, and you have to have 1511 for this thing to work. And so if you download the ISO today, what I'm describing can't work because the RTM version of Windows 10 will not accept those keys.
Yeah. Hellcat says, Andrew, it makes sense. Balmer is gone, so the key is gone with him.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
That key will unlock a charity club seat at the basketball stadium in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I could go to. I'm going to LA next week, so I could go see the Clippers.
Yeah, take that with you and see. You're like, I just have this, and it will just get you to like a club seat.
Hey guys, listen, I don't have tickets, but I have this. And they go, oh my god,
it's like you've got a signature right there. It's, you know,
look, he signed it. He owns this place, right?
Yeah.
All right, Paul. So we do Black Friday deals every year.
Yeah.
Around this time, Black Friday's coming up Thursday. Every year, I feel like Black Friday is becoming a smaller and smaller deal because guess what? Black Friday starts in July now. It's Black Friday every day.
Yeah, sure.
Just what they've done. But there are some phenomenal deals, and I did go and search, and almost every single website that does these deal stuff, they have said that Microsoft has one of the most aggressive Black Friday sales.
They do, yeah.
Out of any other retailer.
Yep.
And a lot of other people are copying them in the sense, you know, for the deals now, because they Microsoft released how much they're going to sell this stuff. So everybody's trying to either undercut them or match the price. We could just go through it. Paul has a piece.
Before we get started on this, one thing I would like to highlight is tied into their Black Friday deals. Microsoft has this thing that's a 1,010-cent items of content, meaning apps and games, music and movie rentals. The reason I want to point this out first is because it changes every single day. And so every single day, there'll be new apps, new games, new music, and new movie rentals you can get for 10 cents each.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so I just brought this up, but let me do it again. I already lost it. Yeah, if you look at, like today, for example, they have a couple of, actually, maybe they just have one album today, but the movie thing was kind of interesting. Today's movie rentals, there's a bunch of them. It's like The Entourage movie, Trainwreck, Jurassic World, Terminator, Genesis, Mad Max Fury Road, and like 15 others. Classic movies like Jurassic Park. Actually, Ex Machina is in there.
10 cents.
School Rock, Breakfast Club. These things are all 10 cents.
That's great.
So, I mean, just rent all of them. Yeah. Like, just rent them. Like, why wouldn't you? You know, Super Troopers, awesome movie.
Hey, before we go into this Black Friday thing, I heard a rumbling from some people that Microsoft is looking into incorporating podcasts and Groove Music. Have you heard that?
No.
Okay. And by the way, it's not Rob Greenlee that said that to me. So before people start throwing Rob, Rob. It was an email that I got from someone I don't know, and they don't want me to mention.
I mean, I follow a woman from the Groove team on Twitter, and she's very active. And I think I'd asked about this some time ago. Let me look around. I would like for that to be the case. I mean, Microsoft has a podcast app from Windows Phone. And if you look at Windows 10 Mobile, it's on there, but it has not been updated at all. It's the Windows Phone 8.1 version. So I don't know what's going on there.
Cool. Now we can go into Black Friday deals. Okay. Now that I spread a rumor. Let's see. So let's go through the Microsoft stuff. So first off, Microsoft has a phenomenal deal on the Xbox. If you are looking to buy an Xbox, I think this is the time to buy one. $299 for an Xbox One. I'm assuming that's the 500 gig version.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Connectless version.
Connectless version. Yeah. I'm a fan of the 1 terabyte because it is a fusion drive, like you said. So, that's going to speed things up a little bit.
So that one. So all the Xboxes are the Xbox Ones are $50 off. And so the cheapest ones you can get are $300. But the 1 terabyte holiday bundle is $349.
The 1 terabyte, and that comes with how many games? It's like a bunch of games.
I don't have the list here. Yeah, it's a bunch of stuff. They all come with. I mean, the thing you want to do is get a bundle because these things all have, you know, games associated with them. Like there's a, you know, the Kinect bundle has a bunch of games. The Gears of War obviously comes with Gears of War games. There's a the terabyte bundle. We highlighted this last week. It's like Gears of War, the rare retro games, and one of the Oni or Odie, whatever the heck it is. I don't remember the other game. But if you haven't bought an Xbox One, you'd be kind of thinking about it. Like, this is the time, you know, to get one.
Yeah.
Because, they've never been cheaper. This is amazing.
So, the Xbox One, some great deals on there. Let me see what else you had here. I lost the page. Sorry. $299 for that. $449 for the limited edition Halo 5 bundle. Xbox One Elite bundle, $449. What's in the Elite bundle?
That's the Elite controller. So
The new controller.
Elite controller sells standalone for $150.
Okay.
And so you can kind of see where that's going. I mean, so the Elite bundle is basically your standard Xbox with the Elite, you know, so it's 300 plus 150, you know.
Lumia 950 XL, get a free display dock with that. Microsoft display dock is $39 at
AT&T. That's that Continuum thing.
Yeah, the Continuum dock. Lumia 640 is $29.99. That is actually great.
I know, it's a good little phone. You know, it's
I may actually pick that one up. $200 off a Surface 3 LTE with AT&T when you purchase a 950 or a 640 XL.
Which is crazy. The normal deal on that is $100 yeah. off. So it's an extra $100 off.
Yeah. What else did you have here, Paul?
Remember the Work and Play bundle?
Yeah.
They change it from time to time. I think this is the third version of it, but it's Office 365 Home, mm-hmm. which is $99, and then Xbox Live Gold, which is $60 normally, right? Yeah. So this bundle is $150. So we're already saving $10 right there. Yeah. But on top of that, you get Skype Unlimited World, which I can't remember exactly, but let's say it's worth about $60.
Yeah.
That includes unlimited Wi-Fi access to Skype access points. But at, Assure software support, and again, I don't have the number in front of me, but I want to say off the top of my head, this is, I think it's $99 a year. It's it includes replacement for devices and you know, in storage support, and it's kind of a neat support package, especially if you're near a Microsoft store. But the thing that puts it over the top is a $60 gift card for content from Microsoft's online stores, not MicrosoftStore.com, but you know, the Windows Store, the Windows Phone Store, the Xbox Store.
Yeah.
And so if you add up just those three other things, the things I think most people would use, Office 365 Home is $100, Xbox Live Gold is $60, and then this thing is worth $60. You know, that's $220 worth of stuff for $150.
It's not bad at all. That's a great deal.
If you already have, like, if you have these subscriptions, like if you have Office 365,
yeah. Might as well bundle it into one.
Well, but if you already have them, even if you're already yeah. paying for them, this pushes them out another year.
Oh,
so you can just
that's
add
great.
Them to your existing subscriptions.
Yeah, because I have 360 and I have Xbox Live Gold. And I have, what? I've been paying for Xbox Live Gold for the last 2 years. I haven't logged into my Xbox in 2 years, because I disconnected it. I moved it when I got the new TV, and I haven't hooked it up because I'm not playing anything on there right now.
Sure.
So
I use it every day.
I'm just wasting money at this point, which I am gonna get a Xbox One for Christmas.
This is a good time to do it. Of course, now that they blow these things out, they'll come out with a thin light one next year. Or
I feel like they're gonna release a thin one like in February, and I'm gonna be screwed.
January 1st,
and new ones come out. Microsoft Store deals starting Wednesday, November 25th at 9 p.m. at the Microsoft Store. Save $200 off a Surface Pro 3. Dell Inspiron 15, $399. HP Pavilion 15, $549. Asus TP 200, $229. Lenovo Idea Center Computer Stick. That's the stick.
Yeah, that's interesting, right?
$69.
I know.
It's a computer.
It looks like a Miracast dongle. You throw it onto HDMI port.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of great deals. Also, Staples has a bunch of deals on HP Pavilion 23-inch all-in-one desktop PC, $499. Toshiba 15.6-inch satellite fusion laptop, $499. There's a bunch of these. If you go to Therat.com, you can see the Microsoft Black Friday deals there. I also have a couple other ones that I selected here. Amazon, there's a list that I saw, and it's the best Black Friday deals here.
Yeah.
Amazon has a bunch that's going to be going on, and I think Amazon's really going to hit a home run with that $49.99 Amazon Fire tablet that they're going to have. The Kindle Paperwhite, which is originally $189, it is not cheap. Going for $99. Amazon Fire Kids Edition, we spoke about it last week, $84.99. The Fire Stick is $15 off. Is it originally $39.99 or it is $39.99 with the $15 off?
No, the Fire Stick is normally $39.99. What is that what it said?
Price is $39.99. It's going to be $15 off. Normally $40. It's going to be $15 off on this thing. This is a thing you should get. This is a great stocking stuffer. I mean, for $20, you're getting the Fire Stick.
Yeah, it's cheap.
That's unbelievable. I mean, that's a great deal. And I'll tell you, the Amazon Fire stuff is very, very good. They're going to have a bunch of sales on TV. An LG 49-inch, it's going to be 45% off the $650 price. I don't know what the big item is going to be this Black Friday. I don't know what the major sale is going to be. You know, what's going to be the go-to thing? Like every year we have... You know, TVs are the thing this year, or the Fire TV is next year. I don't know if tablets are going to be the big thing, or people. I think the market is so submerged at this point that I think it's all these things that are going to sell well. Like they have a jawbone up three. That's going to be $99. I just bought one for $200. Maybe I could get some money back on this thing. I just paid $200 on it last week.
It's going to be the Samsung Gear VR.
The Gear VR. Is it crazy that I want that thing?
One thing to play around with is the Google Cardboard stuff, right? And, you know, the New York Times has started a NYT VR app, and they do a lot of interactive exposés now where, you know, you can read the article on the site, but then you can go see, like, a VR version of it with your phone.
I want to get the thing because they have the WWE Network now supports this weird thing called Front Row 360. Where you could hook up your VR and it's like being front row at the wrestling event and you turn to your sides and it's like you're turning to your sides and seeing what's happening. They're setting up cameras front row at all the events. Now, I'm dying to try that out. I think it's pretty awesome if it works well. I think that's going to be something at all these sporting events, you know? I can see them really incorporating something like that.
Not in selfie sticks.
Not in selfie sticks, no. Would you do that, Paul? Would you like... It's a Celtics game. You get your phone, you put on your VR, and you're watching it like this, and you're courtside.
At the game?
No, not at the game. At home.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, yes. How awesome is that?
Yep.
Sit on your couch and you're just watching the game as if you're there. I want to try that out. They're gonna have Amazon's gonna have a great deal on the PlayStation for $300. You're gonna be able to get a PS4 with Uncharted.
Wow. Which one? The new one.
The Uncharted bundle. It says the Uncharted bundle.
Oh, so that's all the games.
Yeah, I guess that's all.
Yeah, that's actually the one I want.
Is it really?
Yeah, I already have a PS4, though. So.
Yeah, but it's going to be $300.
Let's get the bundle.
That's not bad.
That's nice.
It's amazing how they're able to just cut the price. I guess they're hoping for the best, right? You buy that, they lose some money on there, or they break as close to even as possible.
Right.
And then they just... hope for the best that you're going to buy something else.
You're going to be buying other stuff. Yeah. You know, it's like when you go into Toys R Us for diapers, which, by the way, you'll be doing soon.
I will be doing soon. Yeah. Everyone's going to get
you. That's how they get
you. Yeah. You go and you get a PS4 and you're buying two boxes of diapers at full price. Yeah. So I found this. This is going to be my Black Friday tip before we wrap it up. I had no idea things like this existed, and apparently they do. It is, let's say it's the winters here. I mean, you're in the Northeast. I'm in the Northeast. It's brutal here. And let's say you go to start your car, and guess what? Your car's not starting. What are you going to do? You're going to get somebody, and you're going to jump your car. Or you get one of these devices. It's called a compact car jump starter with portable charger. It's a 400-amp peak current device. So this thing has a lot of power. But you could also plug in your USB devices, your phone, your tablet, to charge on this thing. So you boost your car. You charge the battery with this device. Have you seen that, Paul?
No.
I'm going to send you the link, and I'm going to post a link in the chat room because this thing is awesome. Right now, it's $49 on Amazon, and the deal is ending in about 10 hours. But I'm going to post this here in the chat, and I'll send you a link also. I bought three of these to give one to my dad, one to Jess's grandfather, and the other one is for Jess's dad. Let me see. Oh, that's the wrong person I messaged that to, so they're going to think I'm nuts. So I just sent you a link. I mean, this thing looks pretty awesome, and I know that they work. I just asked one of my buddies about this, and he said, yeah, I've had one for a while, and you know what? Last winter, my car was dead. I went to go start it, and it worked. You just connect the positive and negative. You press the button, and it just jumps your car. Thing is awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I think this is one of the best deals that I've seen. $49. This thing is originally $190.
You could probably use this to kill somebody too.
You could use this to kill somebody. Just clamp it to them, and then just keep pressing a button every time. See what happens. So I think that was one of my favorite deals that I saw. $49 for this thing, not bad at all. Amazon is running all these deals throughout the next couple days. Every day there's a new deal that they're running.
Right.
I mean, it's endless. So Black Friday doesn't really end.
Cyber Monday. Actually, the one I remember off the top of my head, if you go to Moto.com starting on Monday, you can get the new Moto X. I think the prices start at $300 instead of $400. And then the Moto G
That's not bad at all.
Under $179, something like that.
That's great.
And you get the first gen watch, you know, the round watch they have. I don't remember the price, but, you know, for some significant savings as well. Some good stuff.
Yeah, it is some good stuff. Paul, we're going to do our post show following this, but for people listening to this podcast, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. What are you doing on Thanksgiving? Are you hosting or are you going?
Yeah,
somewhere?
We always host. So
how many people are you expecting?
Not that many. I think six, I guess.
That's not bad. We go to Jess's mom's house. She does like a whole thing. There's like 25 people there. It's like out of control every year.
Yeah, nice.
And then we play Cards Against Humanity afterwards. It gets really offensive really quick. It goes downhill. It's nice. Very lowbrow and blue-collared in our family, which that's what, you know, we're a bunch of blue-collar guys. Event, you know. It gets really shitty really quick, I'm telling you. Someone drinks a little too much wine, and that's it. That's how the day ends. Guys, go to our website, gfknetwork.com. Subscribe to us. We're everywhere podcasts are available, except for Windows Phone, apparently, because you can no longer search for What the Tech. Do you know what you have to search to find the show? Andrew Zarian. You can't even search for Paul Theroux. So I don't know what's happening there. I've sent him 10 emails. I've gone through a thousand settings. So I don't know. Good luck trying to find us. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Zarian. You can follow Paul at Theroux. Theroux.com. All things Paul. Great stuff. Great news. Everything is wonderful there. Absolutely love it. Hey, a new layout too.
Yeah.
I love it. Looks really, really good. Site looks great. Wednesdays, go check out Windows Weekly with Paul Theroux and Mary Jo Foley and Leo Laporte every Wednesday at 2 p.m. East. You can catch them there. And also, we have a Black Friday list on GFQ. If you go to gfknetwork.com, we have our Black Friday list, our 2015 electronic picks, and also we have a 2015 podcasters pick. One of the devices I sent to Paul, it's an ATR2100, my favorite microphone in podcasting. $39. $39, Paul. It's on sale right now. So we have that list on the website. You can go check it out, and we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye for now.